Hello, everyone. I'm Caroline Wittenberg, and welcome to another episode of our Civic Podcast. On today's episode, we will be discussing how the CIC stands out from other infection control certification programs. For example, what makes the CIC credential unique? How can three little letters carry so much importance? And what is the difference between the CIC and getting a certificate in infection prevention and control elsewhere? Here today to shed some light is Chris Olson, one of the directors of the 2019 CIBIC Board. Chris holds a BS, an M, an MLT from ASCP and CIC. Chris has been on the board since January of 2017 and has served on the Marketing Committee, Test Committee, and Finance Committee. He currently works as an infection preventionist at the UC Health Highlands Ranch Hospital in Colorado and has been certified since June of 2015. So obviously he probably has a lot to say on the subject. Welcome, Chris, and thank you for joining us today.
Great. Thanks, Carolyn, for having me here today, and I'm hopefully going to be great at answering all of your questions today.
Awesome. Chris, let's get started. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So as you guys have heard, my name's Chris. I'm an infection preventionist for UC Health in Highlands Ranch, Colorado, which is a suburb of Denver. So a little bit about me there. I'm a Colorado native. I've been there for a long period of time now, so I'm not going to quite give away my age, but it's old enough. And I'm really active in my community. I play a lot of golf. I go skiing. I'm active with my APIC chapter there in Denver. And so those are kind of what I do for fun. And then I've been in infection prevention now since about 2014 when I transitioned out of the microbiology lab where I'd lived before. And so I love infection prevention. I really loved microbiology and getting to do those types of things. But now I'm out there, I get to be involved throughout the whole entire facility of the hospital, being involved with all of our initiatives across the realm of quality. And I think that was really the great big change for me when I moved outside the lab, was just getting to be more global within the hospital and being involved in different subcommittees and groups and all the great changes that we can do in healthcare to make things better. So that's why I'm here, and that's why I really love to be in infection control. And then, as Carolyn mentioned, I'm currently on the CIBIC board. A couple years ago, there was a call that I got an email that says, hey, would you be interested in being in leadership with the CIBIC board? I looked into it, and I really like the opportunity to get to work with nonprofits and really promote infection control and everything that we can do to make patients safer in our hospitals and into the healthcare system across the board. And I thought this was a great opportunity to do that. I was in a unique position because when you actually look at all of our board positions that we have, we do look for subspecialties for folks on the board. Like, we like to have a physician on the board. We like to have a patient advocacy person on the board. And one of the spots that I filled the niche was is that we needed a microbiologist on the board. And so that was my in. And then I started the process of interviewing and applying to get on the board, networking with folks at a higher levels within the APIC organization, and that's where I am today.
Awesome. And kind of piggybacking off of that, I know that you said that you enjoy working in infection prevention and control, and you illuminated us on that, but why did you decide to pursue your certification in the first place?
Absolutely, great question. So coming out of the laboratory, in order to generally do your job in almost every state in the United States, you have to have a certification in what you're doing. Most folks, when they start in lab, will get their MLT or their MLS, depending if it's an associate's or a bachelor's degree add-on. And so it was kind of natural for me to want to have a certification and to be able to prove that I can do my job well. On top of that, when you move into infection control, at least within the UC health system and pretty much every single health system in the state of Colorado, you're required to have at one point or another get a certification in infection control. And that certification almost universally is accepted as the CIC. So that's and through CIBIC. So that's where, for me, I was guided to go and get that. It was expected of me within 2 years of being hired, if I didn't already have it, to go and achieve it. And the mentors that I had, the infection preventionists who taught me what I know now, they both had theirs at the University of Colorado Hospital. So it was a no-brainer for me to go and get that, get my study guides, get everything I needed to do in order to get there. And so again, like I said, my job required it. The state of Colorado requires it. So all states out there really ought to require this. But, you know, that's legislation, and that needs to get there at one point or another.
Yeah.
And so that was that. And then, of course, for the professional growth, if I can go and get it and prove that I've got my CIC, it really shows that volume of knowledge that I've moved from a novice to a proficient infection preventionist.
Awesome. And this is, you know, a lot of our listeners already know this, but for those of you who don't, like me, I'm somewhat new to the lingo. Can you just give us a brief overview of the CIC in like 30 seconds?
All right, let's see if I can do that. 30 seconds. Time me. The CIC stands for Certified in Infection Control. The CIC brand is owned by CIBIC. It's a federally registered trademark and property of the Certification Board of Infection Control and Epidemiology.
Which is a mouthful.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and we all live in acronyms, so it's nice when we spell them out, right? It is the only accredited certification in infection prevention and control, which is another reason why that was where I was immediately gravitated towards, because you want to make sure that you're getting this from a certified board who knows what they're talking about, who's really a recognized powerhouse in infection control and prevention. And so that to me was why I went there. And then And then, of course, getting to add some letters behind my name. I was at an academic medical center, and people really pay attention to that when you sign your signature on your emails, when you're communicating with folks.
On to my next question. You've already touched on this a little bit, but aside from it being required in the state of Colorado to have this CIC in your profession, why did you choose the CIC program specifically when you decided to pursue your certification as opposed to, you know, maybe somewhere else? Or
right. So I think for me, if you even just starting off with a simple Google search of what can I do to become certified in infection prevention, the CIBIC and getting your CIC was front and center everywhere I went. For me, besides work requiring it, my local APIC chapter, we did big pushes to get as many of our members there to study, get ourselves ready so that way we could go and get our CIC. And when you just looked around professionally, when you started to pay attention to who are the leaders in infection prevention and control, when you start reading journal articles and things like that, you're looking at the credentials of the folks who are writing these articles and who are really the luminaries of the profession. And you're seeing that every single time you're reading these articles, it's a CIC. You know, it might be somebody with their master's degree or their PhD, but really the core thing that everybody had was that CIC. And so then you just kind of become, it feels like you're part of the group. You know, you're showing what you know, you're getting to be in there, and really being able to contribute is kind of what I started to know, is the heavy contributors in infection control all had this. And then, of course, when you do your research, you quickly realize that we are the only accredited group out there. You realize that APIC is constantly talking up that you should have your CIC. And APIC has actually gone one step further. Like, if you want to become a fellow of APIC, you have to have your CIC. If you want to be on their board, you need to have a CIC. Clearly, to be on our board for CIBIC, you have to have your CIC. And it's just, the more you look around, the more you realize that it's there. Potential employers also look at the CIC as that's the given knowledge that they know they're hiring a competent person. And then you get that there. The CIC is well established. It's legitimate. You know that you're not pulling something out of the back of a Cracker Jack box.
I like the way you think, Chris. The back of a Cracker Jack box. And on that note, this concludes part one of How the CIC Shines. We'll have Chris back with us, so make sure you tune into part two. Thanks for tuning in.